It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Between now and February 20th, you can see the five brightest planets in our solar system at the same time. It's the first time this has happened since 2005. However, lurking in the far-off darkness of our solar system is a celestial body astronomers are calling Planet Nine. Here to tell us more about this astronomic discovery is Point Park University professor and astrophysicist Brendan Mullen. Brendan Mullen, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Paul.
If you have a question or a comment about this phenomenon, something that you don't understand, like me, be sure to call and ask a question at 412-246-2002. Before we get to Planet Nine from outer space, let's talk about, I'm just chuckling because I'm thinking of the movie,
yeah.
Planet Nine from outer space. This is not like that
at all. Terribly scientifically accurate, but you know, it's a lot of fun.
No. So let's talk about the planets that we're seeing in the pre-dawn sky. Why at this time are we seeing Mercury, Venus, Mars, Saturn, and Jupiter?
Okay, so first of all, full disclosure, I'm not a Nazi war criminal.
Okay,
so
good.
In case that's influencing our discussion here.
But
the short answer to your question is that they're all in the same part of the solar system at the same time. All the planets orbit around the sun, as we learned in elementary and middle school, and they orbit at different rates, so it takes a while for them all to collect themselves over at the same general region of outer space.
So they're going to be all there. It's going to be like friends meeting at the corner.
Well, they're not going to be physically close. It's just from our perspective,
right.
They seem close because along our line of sight, they're all just right there, even though they're separated by many millions of miles.
So where is the best place to be able to see these planets?
Well, if I had to rank it, I would say outer space, if you've got a ticket on Elon Musk's space rocket or something like that.
Yeah, all right. But if you're earthbound, as we all are, how do you see these planets?
Well, if you're in the Pittsburgh region, I recommend getting away from the city as far as you can.
Get away from city light.
Yeah, that's for sure. Try to find a place that's not so hilly, because you're going to need a clear view from the south, straight from southeast to southwest, to see all of them at once.
And the prime time for this?
Well, like you said, you got to wake up stupid early to see them all. You got to wake up well before the sun rises, but just as the sun rises, because Mercury and Venus tend to stick pretty close to the sun, so you want to catch them right before the sun rises.
How can those viewing with a naked eye distinguish which are the planets and which are the stars? How can you tell which planet is which, too, by the way?
Oh, well, my favorite answer to that is to download an app from the iTunes store, and I use Starwalk myself. That does an easy job. But if you're feeling bold and you want to do this the old school way, stars are very, very far away. They're trillions of miles away, so they look like points because they're so far away. Planets, they're only millions to billions of miles away, so they look small, but they actually have a little shape to them. You can see a little disk. So anything that doesn't look point-like and twinkly, that is most likely a planet.
And this hasn't happened since 2005. Why is it such a rare occurrence?
Well, like I said before, all the planets orbit around the sun, but they do so at different rates. And the further out you go, the slower that planet orbits and the longer it takes to go around the sun. So Jupiter and Saturn, Jupiter takes about 10 years to get around the sun, a full year, and Saturn about 20, 30 years or so. So you have to wait on order of 10 to 20 years for everyone to get into the same corner of the sky, basically.
And so the next time this event will occur will be when?
I believe it's 2040 or something like that. It's the next one's not going to come around for a while. And if you're actually waiting for a perfect alignment, like everybody in lined up in a row, that's going to be at least 100 years.
Yeah, so you might want to just get out there and check it out now while you have the chance. We're talking with Brendan Mullen. He's a Point Park University professor and astrophysicist. Now to Planet Nine from outer space, which is, I guess, going to be or is part of our solar system. What's leading astronomers to believe that there is another planet in our solar system?
Well, I like to think of it this way. Go to my relative's house for Thanksgiving. They're out in New Jersey. So sometimes when I'm in New Jersey, I take the subway up to New York City. So picture yourself getting on the subway car. And let's imagine you see five people up clustered in the front of the car. Well, what does that tell you? Usually, if it's a subway from New Jersey to New York, that means somebody threw up in the back, or there's a crazy guy like shouting all sorts of nonsense at you, causing everybody to cluster away from him. So similarly, we're seeing a bunch of rocky, icy objects called Kuiper Belt objects that are clustering around the same region of space that's around and farther out than the orbit of Neptune. And it looks like that there's only a slight, tiny chance that by random chance that they could do this on their own. They're more likely to be shepherded there, much like how passengers in a subway are shepherded by someone throwing up in the back of a subway car.
Keep going back to that analogy.
Hey, if it helps you remember.
What do we know so far about this planet?
Well, we know just a couple of basic facts. If we run some sophisticated computer models to figure out what's doing the shepherding, you get a couple of key facts here. We know it's far away. It's 200 times further from the sun than our Earth is. That's about 20 billion miles at its closest approach. At its farthest approach, it's 3 to 6 times further than that. And we also think that it's about 5 to 15 times the mass of the Earth. So that's roughly the mass of Uranus or Neptune. That's a substantial planet.
And when could we expect to see visual evidence of this planet? Are we far enough advanced technologically to do so?
We are, actually. Any reasonable research-grade telescope that we have right now can find it. It's just we need to know exactly where to look. Because telescopes, well, they're great at looking deep, but you have to know exactly where to point. So we have to scan a good chunk of sky in order to figure out where this planet could be, and that's going to take a couple years. But scientists are working on using the Subaru telescope in Hawaii right now, and we should have an answer in a couple of years.
Pluto was stripped of its planethood in August of 2006. What requirements must a space object meet to become a planet?
Well, there's 3 basic rules. If you want to be a planet, you got to follow these 3 rules.
I want to be a planet.
All
what
right,
do I have
Paul.
To do?
Well, you've got to orbit the sun.
Okay. Check.
Great. You've got to be as close to spherical as possible, which means that you need to have a lot of mass. When you have a lot of mass, the immense gravitational pull of all that mass squeezes it into a circular shape. And looking at you now, I can tell you that you're not spherical. So
okay, well, that's good. I've been losing weight.
Yeah.
So that's a good thing, I guess, but not for our purposes here.
Yeah.
And there's one more thing?
Right. There's one more thing is that your gravitational influence has to be able to clear space garbage out of your path. So the reason that Pluto failed this test is that it's part of the larger Kuiper Belt of objects around it, and it just happens to be one of the larger Kuiper Belt objects out there, which is why we discover it first.
Poor Pluto.
I know.
All right.
Pluto loves you. You saw the picture. It's got a little heart.
Yeah, exactly. So how much potential is there for finding other undiscovered planets within our solar system?
Well, it's really interesting. If you asked me 2 weeks ago if we would ever find another planet in our solar system, I would have said, you crazy. But we're making all sorts of new discoveries over time. And the more we map out the trajectories of these Kuiper Belt objects, the more crazy things we might discover. And who knows? What's really interesting, though, is that this is telling us so much about how our solar system formed. So, you know, whether or not this particular planet ends up being real, we're going to find something interesting that we didn't know about before, and that's science right there.
And that's a wrap, and that's a great parsing through of what's going on in the sky now and what could happen in the future with Point Park, University professor and astrophysicist Brendan Mullen. Brendan Mullen, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
Coming up, how the Heinz History Center is paying tribute to legendary Steelers broadcaster and terrible towel inventor Myron Cope. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.